Well, today I want to come up. I want to come down here, if that's all right with you. We'll just call this Bible study today. Amen. We'll just call this Bible study. And you might want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Again, we are following, I believe, the Holy Spirit in an emphasis that He's giving us concerning. Concerning our nation, and I'm going to tell you, you know, the Bible says that God sits in the heavens and laughs. Amen. The fool has said there is no God. God sits in the heavens and laughs. Now, we get upset when someone says there's no God. We get upset when someone says, I have a different way of life, and don't tell me how to live it. I'll live my life the way I want it. We get upset. You know what God just does? He just sits there in heaven and watches His Word prevailing. Amen. He don't get excited. We get excited. He don't get excited. Even when the devil is at work, he don't get excited. God don't get excited. Amen. We're the ones that get excited. I'll never forget a particular time when Elaine and I were, actually, we were across the street when that was a little apartment over there. That was a little, I think it was like 900 square feet, just a little tiny apartment. And we were living in that little tiny apartment, and a friend come banging on the door in the middle of the night. I didn't feel Michael very spiritual at all. As a matter of fact, I was sitting watching, I think I was watching Starsky and Hutch or something like that. I don't know. Wasn't spiritual, though, you know. Nothing spiritual about it, you know what I mean? I mean, we were watching TV, you know what I mean? We were reclined and entertaining ourselves. And at any rate, here he comes, and he started spewing all this stuff out about his wife, and he said, you got to go over there and cast the devil out of her. She's got a devil. Well, I don't go anywhere where I'm not invited, you know, to come and cast out devils, especially. And like I said, I didn't feel too spiritual. So there we are. We decided, well, we probably ought to turn the TV off, and it might be a good idea to pray. And so we were praying. I didn't know how to deal with this. This was a best friend growing up. And so he's sitting in our kitchen table, and Elaine and I'm a pacer. You all know that. When I'm on the phone, I'm pacing. When I'm talking, I'm pacing. Yeah. And so I'm going around in a circle. I'm praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. I don't know what's happened to Elaine. I got my eyes closed. I'm praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, Michael, I sensed it just got real dark in our home. Now, when I say dark, I'm not talking about natural light. I'm talking about you could sense the presence of evil in our home. And I turned and looked over at my friend, and his eyes are rolled back in his head, and he's manifesting a devil. Well, you know, I'm not used to that. That's not a normal thing. And I was jarred from my prayer, and I look over at Elaine, and her eyes, I mean, my eyes are bugged out, her eyes are bugged out, we're looking at each other like that, and the next thing I know, I'm walking over, and she's walking over to my friend, and we lay our hands on him, just like this, we just lay our hands on him. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't yell and scream like a banshee. I spoke in a normal voice, and all I said was, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this man. And when I did, he picked up for a brief time off of his chair, and he sat back down. And he was whole again. He was in his right mind again. Now, it was after that I got really kind of excited about that, you know. But at the time, the presence of the Lord was in me in such a way as, just calm. Everything's going to be okay. Wasn't any kind of thought of, What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It was filled with peace. I mean, the peace came into the room and pushed all of that bad out. Now, I found out later that my friend would get so angry at his wife, he'd start yelling and screaming, and he would pass out yelling and screaming. Yeah. Now, I only tell you that because that's not our normal mode of existence. You know that, right? And I'm going to tell you something. We don't go around looking for demons. You don't have to. I mean, in your existence, you're going to come face to face with them sometime or another. And no use getting excited about it, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And God is going to do in you what he does on the throne. He's just going to, everything's all right. And he's going to move his authority through you on the behalf of other people. You don't ever have to be scared. Never. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, we're going to be doing some studying along this line. Now, I don't know if you're this way or not, but Elaine and I, when we first started studying along these lines, was in Bible school, and it was announced that there were going to be two men that were going to be speaking along these lines, and one of them was Lester Summerall, and the other was Norval Hayes, yeah. And Norval Hayes was wild and woolly. If there was anybody that, in my mind, gave me a picture of what John the Baptist must have been like, that's Norval Hayes. And at any rate, when I told Elaine that their subject matter was going to be demonology, she said, I don't think I want to go to that. Well, I didn't want either, but I was a student. I had to go to that. You know? And that's kind of our idea. We don't want to deal with those kind of things. But the truth is, in our lifetime, every one of us will come face to face with some kind of evil presence, and we better know what to do. And so, again, I'm just sensing the Holy Spirit's timing. I don't think that I've ever spoke along these lines, specifically along these lines. Maybe I've said something here or there, but as far as taking a text and going through that, I don't believe we ever have. And so here we go. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. Actually, if you were to read this passage of Scripture, you would read all of Ezekiel 28. We're just going to take some highlights. Ezekiel 28, verse 2. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not a God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. So now here's a picture of a king. Now the Lord calls him the prince of Tyrus. This was a man. This was a man, all right? Evidently, this man was lifted up in pride. And yet, God here is reminding him of who he is. He's a man. Amen. And he said here in verse 2, he said, yet thou art a man. Now, angels and evil spirits are not men, are they? I don't know if you know it or not. Now, if you could see into the spirit realm right now, you would see a multitude of angels around us. When Rebecca goes into the Dominican Republic, what she doesn't know is, and what she may not ever see is, that there are light beings that are surrounding her, protecting her. I remember Dennis Cook. Went into a brand new area in Panama, and a witch doctor approached him and said, I've been seeing you come for 4 days as a light being. As a light being. I'm just saying all of this to get you to understand the idea of a double kingdom. while we're sitting here and while we're enjoying the comfort of brand new air conditioning and a nice facility, and it's getting nicer all the time, yet around us are a group of beings, some of them good and some of them not good, and they're around us all the time, yet we're unaware of it most of the time. We're unaware of it. Now here's the man, he's speaking, he's saying he's a god, and God is reminding him, you're a man, you're a man. This prince of Tyrus was a man who ruled a kingdom at a certain time. And then in the very same chapter, in verse 11 through 19, the prophet then begins to speak to someone else that's not seen. Verse 12, he says, son of man, take up the lamentation upon the king of Cyrus. Now, God called the man the prince of Cyrus. Now, this being is being called the king of Cyrus, or Tyrus, king of Tyrus, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Now, the prince of Tyrus, he wasn't in Eden. He was a man. But this king of Tyrus, he was in Eden, the garden of God. So what we're seeing here is we're seeing a dual kingdom in the same place and in the same time. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Anybody know who he's talking to here? Anybody have a good idea who he's talking to here? Yeah. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipe was prepared in thee in the day when thou was created. So already we see, of course, this passage is talking about Lucifer. He was in the Eden of God. The prince of Tyrus hadn't been born yet. And so he starts talking to the prince, and the prophet then begins to speak to the king of Tyrus, not referring to a man, referring to a created being, Lucifer, a fallen spirit who had ruled in a place of rulership in the heavenlies. Everybody say heavenlies. Now, you'll see that in the scripture from time to time, the scripture talking about the heavenlies. What in the world is it talking about? Well, it's talking about this dual kingdom. And these two beings, the prince of Tyrus, a man, and the king of Tyrus, Lucifer himself, the Bible gives us an idea of a double kingdom. A natural kingdom and a spiritual kingdom. And the spiritual kingdom is being dominated and ruled by a wicked spirit in the heavenlies. We see something similar in the book of Daniel. You'll want to turn there with me to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And we're going to read in verse 12. For the sake of time, I'm just going to go through briefly some of these things. You can read about them in your home studies, and I would encourage you to do that. All right? Praise the Lord. And if you possibly can, don't miss the next two Wednesdays, all right? Well, or Sunday for that matter, because I'll be continuing this. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, then said he, the angel, to me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, does anybody know where Persia is? Say it. Yeah. Is it any wonder we're having trouble out of Persia now, the old Persia? Is it any surprise? Notice what he said. You know, the people of God have always had trouble with Persia. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. I want you to think about that. There's a war going on in the heavenlies while this man is praying. You think your prayers might have some power? There's war going on in the heavenlies when we pray. And yet with all of that, we take our responsibility of prayer so lightly. And yet that your prayer could be the catalyst to break the issues that are going on in our government. Amen. The Bible says that our prayers are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's the principalities and the powers that are arrayed against us in the heavenlies. And so here's Daniel, and he's fasting and praying. And the angel said, notice what he said. He said, I've come for your words. From the first day that thou set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. 21 days was this war going on in heaven. The heavenlies, I should say. When we hear the word heaven, we think of the heaven that God's in. But when you see the word heavenlies, that's talking about the kingdom within our kingdom, where there are principalities and powers and mights and dominions. And they're arrayed against us. They were arrayed against us when we were born again. Couldn't stop us from being born again. Hello, you hear what I'm trying to say to you? The greater ones in you. We think, oh my gosh, and we get ourselves afraid of the principalities and the powers and rulers of darkness in this world. But the truth is, they couldn't stop us from getting born again. They couldn't stop us from being filled with the Spirit. They couldn't stop us from getting healed. The Word of God prevailed over them. And the Word of God in us is what causes us to prevail over them as well. Amen. So he says, I've come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came and helped me. Now, this prince of Persia is a wicked ruler in the heavenlies. And his whole purpose was to stop Daniel from receiving the revelation that he needed to receive from God. Do you think that there are spiritual entities, that are still around trying to stop people from hearing the Word of God? Yes. Yeah. Matter of fact, we'll go over to 1 Corinthians in Corinthians, and we'll find that. I'll go there in a few minutes. But I want you to notice there's a battle that takes place in the spiritual world in the heavenlies. And the angel's not referring to a man living on the earth who opposed him, but a wicked ruler in the heavenlies. On earth, there's a physical earthly kingdom. And here in this setting of scripture that we're reading, it was the land of Persia. The land of Persia, with a human prince heading up the kingdom. And above that kingdom, again, was this dual kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. Spirits of darkness were arrayed against the natural kingdom of Persia. The spiritual kingdom is being ruled by wicked spirits. That hasn't changed since Jesus has come and gone. You hear what I'm saying? You remember Jesus, he had a confrontation with some demon spirits. He cast the devil out of this man, and he said, the devil's on the inside of him, said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" See, there's a time frame when those spirits, that time frame, they're going to exist in the heavenlies until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom rule. We're here now demanding his kingdom come, his will be done. And in prayer, we can take authority over them. We can get them off of us and off of the people that we love. But you know what? They're still going to be in the heavenlies until Jesus returns. These evil spirits dominate earthly governments, the places of power. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. The scripture is referring to a being in the heavenlies that is ruling that region. And every natural man in that region was being dominated by that principality and that power. Have you ever gone into certain areas and you sensed a presence that you hadn't sensed before? Yeah, I have too. I have too. Some years ago, I don't know how much I want to say about this, but I had an aunt and uncle call Elaine and I and want us to come and clean out their house because there were evil spirits at work in their place. It was years ago. Years ago. And to be real honest with you, I was a little irritated at them, because the truth is, any believer has the power. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Any believer can do that. A little child who loves Jesus can do that.
Amen.
Amen. But you know what? At first I thought, well, do they really have a problem? And we walk in the house, and sure enough, they did. There was a different presence there, and it wasn't pretty. We're talking about a dual kingdom. Amen. Now, why didn't this wicked spirit in the heavenlies want the angel to get through to Daniel with God's message? Why? Well, for the same reason that evil spirits today don't want God's message to be broadcast. And they do their best. How many of you have invited people to services and they were going to come, and all of a sudden something happens, they're not going to come? Guess what's going on? Yeah. And I've had even a few. I mean, 1 minute we're very open and the book closed, and they're and you can tell. There's no use berating them, hurting them or anything. You're just going to have to go home and pray for them until the door gets open again, you know. What's going on? There's an influence of a demon going on. And how many of you have ever been caught up in strife? Anybody ever been caught up in strife? Guess what happens when you're caught up in strife? Elaine and I, some years ago, I think we were in our mid-20s, we started arguing about something. And right in the middle of our argument, we both started laughing. It dawned on both of us. It was like we saw the curtain pulled back. And Elaine would say something, and it wasn't what she said, but it was what I heard about what she said. She said that because. And I'd react to that, and then she'd react, and then that evil spirit was having fun pushing our little buttons. Pushing our buttons. I don't know if you know it or not, but that happens in church as well. You come in, and someone's not smiling particularly pretty, and your head says, "He's mad at you." Guess who's talking, and you don't even realize it. Yeah. Happens with children too, young people and their parents. Don't you find it interesting that Kaylin, I'm going to use Kaylin because she's the right age, you know. It seems like the teenage, I mean, when they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, oh, Mom and Dad was the most wonderful people in the whole world. And a little hormones gets going and the enemy starts stirring all that up, you know. And Mom and Dad, they're the Jack the Rippers of the town. Just, yeah. And they're so bad. Yeah. And without even knowing it, someone is stirring that all up. Who is that someone? See, we're dealing all the time with principalities and powers, mights and dominion, and don't even know it. And because we're, I don't want to say it, but I do want to say it, dumb about spiritual things, it surprises us when somebody does something that's completely out of their character. Wouldn't have done that in a million years. Don't know why they ever did that. What's going on? Principalities and powers. See, in Daniel's case, Satan wanted to keep this angel from revealing God's plan and purpose for the people of God. And so the prince of Persia withstood the angel, and God had to send reinforcement. On that 21st day, I want you to think about that. Daniel prayed for 21 days. And that's when the breakthrough came. And the angel got through the heavenlies to Daniel with the message of God. So here's what we're seeing. This is the point that I'm trying to make this morning. That wicked spirits can dominate earthly kingdoms and governments. Now, can you see why it's so important for us to pray for the people that are in leadership over us? Mm-hmm. Do you know right now there's a war going on in Illinois? Amen. There's a war going on in Illinois. I want to say it again. There's a war going on in Illinois. And there are natural men involved in that war, and their egos are bigger than our doors. But one of the reasons why their egos are bigger than our doors is because there's a principality, power, might and dominions that are displayed against us as well, and wants to keep this country, I'm talking about specifically Illinois, impoverished. Yeah. And so we have a governor trying to do some things, and we've got people trying to stop him. Amen. In the United States, we see the same thing. We see good people going to Washington, D.C. to try to do good. And when they first get started, they've got all these promises. And when they get out of Washington, D.C., it looks so big that some of them even lose hope. What's going on? Do you see why we need to be praying for our nation? Amen. And why it uses the word first of all. Turn there with me. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I don't know if you've paid attention to that. First of all, and you're praying, first of all. There's an emphasis going on there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Now, I remember, and you remember, your pastor being very ticked off by Bill Clinton. To the point, were you here when that? Yeah. So you remember watching me frustrated, and the Lord finally told me, he basically told me that if I didn't have anything good to say, keep my mouth shut. Yeah. And because it was all complaint, I wasn't doing what the Bible said about intercessions, prayers, and giving of thanks. I wasn't doing that. I don't think that there's any representative in our country that particularly goes to Washington, D.C. with the express desire to make a mess for the country. I don't believe there's one that does that. There are people who say that Mr. Obama is trying to bring America to its knees. I don't think that he has a purpose for that. I don't think he does. Now, he has a politic that guides him and rules him, all right? And he thinks that certain things would be wonderful for this country, and that their thinking is the only way to think, and everyone else's thinking is all wrong, all right? But I don't think that his purpose is to destroy our nation. I don't think there's a representative in Washington, D.C. today whose purpose is to destroy our nation. They all want what they believe is best for the nation. Well, if that's the case, then what's the problem? The problem is we have many that are in Washington, D.C. that are in the dark spiritually. They don't hear truth because the darkness that rules over them keeps them from hearing the truth. Do you realize this, that the very fact that you got saved reveals that God had his way, and light that the enemy was trying to keep you away from was shed abroad in your heart and delivered you from your mess? Amen. Vivian had a mess. I had a mess. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we got to be real blunt about this. It's not about how good you were, because we're good. I really do believe this. I believe that in my life that there were people that were praying for me, and that opened the door for light to come into my life. I have not seen my granny Young since I was 6 months old. I am told by my aunt that she lifted me and my cousin David up, and she committed us to God. Little Spitfire Baptist. What kind of Baptist? That's it, Free Will, thank you. Free Will Baptist. Free Will Baptist, by the way, is as close to Pentecostal as you can get. Yeah. Little Spitfire prayed for her two grandsons, 6 months old. We're the same age. I really do believe that my grandmother's prayer is a part of why I am who I am today. I think about my babysitter, Hazel Munson. Hazel Munson, I did not like her at all. She had no sense of humor. She was an old Church of God Pentecostal woman. And, you know, I think she babysat for us because she loved my mother. But I don't think that she was really that good with kids. You know what I mean by that? You know, I see Shannon with her kids, and they just love her. Not one of us kids loved Hazel. She always says that. Don't you know that? But I believe Hazel's prayers are a part of who I am today. Amen. Principalities and powers. I want to share some things that Brother Hagin taught us. He had a visitation with the Lord, and the Lord sat down and talked to him about this issue right here. And in particular, You know, Ephesians 6 and 12 talks about the rulers of the darkness of this world. Jesus said to him that the highest class of demons that you'll ever have to deal with on this earth are the rulers of darkness of this world. And they're just exactly what the word says they are. They rule over darkness, the darkness of the world. And they also rule, pay close attention to what I'm about to say, they also rule over believers who are not walking in the light they have. I want to say it again. They rule over the darkness of this world. And they also rule over people who are not walking in the light of their redemption. Or those who don't exercise their rights and privileges in Christ. I hope if you don't get anything else out of this, these next weeks that we're going to be looking at, it is my desire and hope that I open your mouth and you start speaking the name of Jesus over your life, over your children, over your husband, over your loved ones. If there's nothing else that you take away from this, just the fact that you start taking your place as the king and priest, the ambassador of Christ that you are, it will make a great difference in the heavenlies. Jesus told Brother Hagin that according to the word, that believers are to take authority over these classes of demons, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. And that we are to bind them. Bind them. Everybody say bind them. You know, we've got the word in Matthew 18, verse 18. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, the heavenlies. That word heaven is the heavenlies. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in the heavenlies. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That word is the heavenlies. Amen. I want to go to Ephesians 6. We were there on Wednesday. I want to go back there. I want to go back there. If we would on earth bind the operation of these ruling spirits, we would find it much easier to do what we've been called to do. Amen. Amen. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Let me get there. I want you to notice that it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, let me ask you a question. Is there an inference here that we can't stand unless we put on the whole armor of God? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is, isn't there? Have you known Christians that have fallen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have too. Good people. I say it this way, some of those people better than I am. And they fell. I heard Lester Summerall make this comment about himself. You know, we always looked up to him as a apostolic. I mean, in the true form of apostolic word, he was an apostle. But yet, if you ask him what his secret to success was, the only thing that he can ever point his finger to about his secret of success is that he wouldn't quit. In prayer, he wouldn't quit. Amen. He wouldn't quit. You couldn't talk him out of going somewhere. If God told him to go somewhere, he was gone. You could name 1,000 reasons why he shouldn't go. Didn't make any difference to him. He didn't quit. And that's what he said was the reason of his success. Well, here's a man who has, don't quit everything he did when he prayed. He was, you guys think I get up early. He was usually up about 3:30, 4 o'clock. He would pray a couple of hours every day. Yeah. And as he got older, he had to pray more because he had more groups of people that he administered to. He was constantly praying for them. Yeah. And they say, and I was privy to hear this from ministers that I know and respect, they say that he wore out 3 ministers a year. They couldn't keep up with him. One of the ministers that he wore out was Tennyson Fitch. Yeah, Tennyson ran with him for a time. Amen. He didn't quit. Now notice, we're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, whereunto take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, able to withstand in the evil day. Everybody say evil day.
Evil day.
Do you know you're going to have one? Evil day. We all have one. Amen. How are you going to stand? The only way you can withstand the evil day is by taking up your armor. And what kind of armor is our armor? Let's look at that just briefly. I want you to notice in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Everybody say truth.
Truth.
What is the center of your life? What is the center of your life? Is your life centered in truth? See, that's a weapon. You don't even know it. Some people get irritated at Elaine. I've even gotten irritated at Elaine because she is so cut and dried. What I mean by that is it's either light or dark. There's no gray area here. Greg is like that. And he irritates people just because he sees everything in those terms. What does the Word say? They both say that. What does the Word say? Yeah. They're people centered in truth. Their life is centered in truth. It's an armor. It's a weapon. What's your life centered in? Is it fun and games? Is it entertainment? Is it football? Is it dating? Is it college? Is it work? Is it family? What I'm telling you is the weapon of our warfare is being centered in truth. I could say it this way. Are you putting the Word of God first place in your life? First place. Amen. First place. So it's a weapon. It is the truth. Let me read it to you again in verse 14. Having your loins, the center of your being, girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? It's truth. Truth of the Word. If you don't have it, the enemy will take you out by accusing you into the dirt. And you'll listen to him and you won't raise your head up because, you know, back in Zuma Zuma time, you did this dirty, dastardly thing and you can't even raise your head anymore. But if your life is centered on truth, you know the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from all sin. Amen. And the moment that I confessed Jesus as my Lord, at that moment, God declared me right with Himself. And so my righteousness doesn't have to do with some deed I did in the beginning. It has something to do with the fact that God has sowed His Word in the center of my being. To the best of my ability, I'm living for that truth. Amen. Centered in truth is a weapon, brothers and sisters. I want you to notice verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, I missed one, didn't I? Oh, there it is, 15, there it is. The Lord just said, you missed 15, okay. He's wanting you to get this one. We just talked about having our lives centered in truth. Notice what He's saying in verse 15 here, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now I've got walking in the truth. Your life centered in the truth. Your feet walking in the truth. It's a weapon. Do you know if tomorrow you had to deal with the devil, the only way you're going to effectively be able to deal with him is that everything is right between you and God right now. You hear what I'm saying? So your life centered in truth and you're walking in the truth. They're weapons. They're weapons that bring about faith and confidence in the evil day. Amen? Notice verse 16. There we go. We were in verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Everybody say, command the truth. Amen. The shield of faith commands the word. It's not some wimpy prayer. You hear what I'm saying? It's commanding healing. It's commanding grace. It's commanding mercy. People don't like to pray those kind of prayers because it makes them think that maybe they're bigger than they really are. But the Lord tells us we're to pray the prayer of faith. We're to say to the mountain, be removed. Amen? That's not some nice religious prayer. That's somebody that's demanding something supernatural to happen. And so taking up this truth, we command with it. Now, I want to go back over what we just talked about. Your life is centered in truth. You're walking the truth. You're speaking the truth. Amen? Verse 17. Go to verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise. Oh, I'm in the wrong verse. Hang on here. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. What's the helmet of salvation have to do with? Can anybody tell me? Where's a helmet go? It deals with our thoughts. You ever have thoughts that go out of line? Can you ever remember deciding the first time you wanted to pray for an hour? Pray for an hour. So I go and I get my Bible out. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to pray for an hour. From 5 to 6, I pray 5 minutes. And you won't believe some of the most ungodly thoughts that I had. Yeah. One time I decided that I was going to lay prostrate on the floor. I was going to lay out before the Lord, and I was just going to talk to the Lord, you know. I was going to talk to the Lord. And I got a little bit of lint up my nose, and I thought, this floor needs to be cleaned. What does that have to do with this verse? The devil will do anything he can to get your attention away from what you're doing. And you're going to have to purpose to think truth. Say it. Yeah, and who, that's exactly right. And who you are, of course. Who are you? I'm a child of the living God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm an heir to join heir with Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. Amen. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen. I've had times when the enemy caused a thought to come out of nowhere. I'm praying. Some dumb thing that happened 20 years earlier. Stupid stuff. Yeah. I'm talking about thinking truth. So are our lives centered in truth? Walking in truth? Speaking truth? Thinking truth. And the last one, verse 18. Praying always. Praying always. Do you pray always? Joshua Scott, anything ever bother you? Now, here's my question. Don't answer me. Answer yourself. Do you complain about it or do you pray about it? Amen? Pray. Everybody say pray. You know, some years ago they had a advertisement for praying. You remember that? Can you? You can remember it. Wait. All right, talk.
I'll try to remember it all. It was pray. Prayer in the name of Jesus is powerful, wonderful, incredible, and you can never pray too much, for He always knows what's best. I don't remember the rest after that. I think it's absolutely the best, yes, for you. That's what it was. And I don't remember anymore.
Very good. You did better than me. Channel 23, which is now, what channel is it? Okay, yeah. Yeah, at any rate, pray. Everybody say pray.
Pray.
Amen. Amen. I want to end just the next few minutes with some more scripture verses, okay? And we didn't get near where I thought. Maybe I ought to add this. I want to add a couple of things that Brother Hagin shared with us. He said that he knew a man in an area of California, 28 years old, had a good job, had a fine home, had a great family, had no financial worries, came from a good family, and in the middle of washing his 4-year-old boy, had this urge to drown him, and he drowned his 4-year-old boy. You remember, some of you remember the lady that had a car full of family, little kids, and she drove that car into the lake and basically left them to die, correct? Yeah. And she got out. That's right. And she got out. And I remember, I believe it was in Texas, one particular lady killed all of her children, thinking that would save them from the life that was to come. All right. Now we shake our heads and we think, that don't make any sense. I want you to think about evil spirits. I want you to think about what the scripture talks about. This gentleman that Brother Hagin talked about to us, told him later, he said, a voice told me. Well, you remember the guy that had his AR-15 in Colorado and he mowed down all those people at that movie house? He claimed that a voice told him. And of course, people will just automatically want to say, well, the guy's nuts, the guy's nuts. Think about being dominated by evil. Principalities, powers, mights, and dominion. Amen. Now, Christians don't need to be dominated by evil spirits. Amen. I said we don't need to be dominated by evil spirits. As a matter of fact, we've been born out of the darkness and translated into his light, the scripture says, the kingdom of light. We're in the light because Jesus is our Lord. And Satan is the head and rules over darkness. I don't know if you've thought about it, but every unsaved person on the face of this earth has to deal with these rulers of darkness and don't even know they're being influenced by them. And they would run to Christians if they were to know the truth to get saved. There's a spirit world that's even more real than this physical world that we live in. And when we're talking about the spirit world, we're also talking about angels, because they're spirits, and Father God. God is a spirit. Amen. And so when we are dealing with devils and demons and even evil spirits in this realm, we got to remember that God, who is the Father of us all, he has commanded light to shine out of darkness. And as a result of that, you were born again. I was born again. We were born from darkness to light. That's where we were. Amen. Now, the New Testament tells us that Jesus has delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're delivered. What are we delivered from? We're delivered from darkness. What are we delivered from? The influence of evil. That's what we're delivered from. The word says that believers are children of the light. Praise the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. And because we've been born again, we're God's dear children. We're children of the light. And that's why it's also very important for us to walk in the light. Because the truth is when we're walking in the light, there's protection. I want to say it again. Walking in the light is our protection. I want to say it one more time. I want to say it a little bit different. Walking in obedience to the word is our protection. Walking in humility to the word is our protection. Walking in repentance to God is our protection. Amen. So believers are the children of the light. They're not in the world. The scripture says that we're not of the world. So we don't have to be ruled by the devil. However, we can allow the devil to rule over us if we walk in darkness rather than light. Amen? So again, I want to say this. It's so important. Our protection is walking in obedience. Our protection is humbling ourselves to the Word of God. Amen? The devil can rule over us if we're ignorant of his word. Our protection is the word of God. Amen. Or if we willingly give him permission to rule over us. Our protection is our obedience to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's one of the reasons why the Bible exhorts believers to walk in the light. Rulers of darkness can't rule in the light. Amen. Let me read you some last scriptures and then we'll stop for the day and I'll continue this next week. I want to say it one more time. Matter of fact, I want to go to the to the verse on that, okay? I want to go to James, book of James. Book of James. Let's see, where is that at here? Okay. Chapter 4. Notice it says, now here's James speaking to the church about their infighting. You ever have infighting in a church? Huh? Can you imagine? From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that you war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, and fight and war, and ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lusts. And then, of course, he calls them what they were actually doing. He calls them, notice what he calls them, adulterers and adulteresses. Why were they adulterers and adulteresses? Because they were living another kind of life. They weren't living the God kind of life. All right? And they were supposed to be. They were born again. They were the part of the church. Can a part of the church live another kind of life? Certainly. Certainly. And what happens when we do? We find ourselves in darkness. Can anybody say amen? Yeah. Do you not think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? He gives us more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Now, this is a reference to those that were a part of the church, but they were not walking as the church. All right. Now, my point in saying all of this is to show you where our strength comes from. Where is our strength? Where is our protection from the rulers of darkness and the influence of the rulers of darkness? Well, notice what he says here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And notice he says he will flee from you. Now go to the verse before. He gives more grace. He gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's why I say your humility to God is your protection. Your obedience to God is your protection. Amen. Your repentance to God is your protection. We're living a day where it's very dark. I look around. I'll be very honest with you. I look at people that were walking with me when I was growing up in the things of God, and they're not walking with God anymore. And Greg, I've always wondered this. Why me? People better than me fell. What's kept me these years? Well, I know this is part of it. I'm a person of repentance. When I miss it, I repent. I humble myself to the Word of God. See, these are strengths I didn't even know were strengths. These are weapons that I didn't even realize was a weapon. Amen. And our obedience. You always heard me say that obedience is our door of blessing. And it is. Why does he put it in the Word? Because he wants to ruin our fun? No, because he wants to bless us. Amen. So principalities, powers, might, and dominion, they're arrayed against us. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But I also got to admonish you, walk in the truth. And if you find yourself walking in the dark, repent and do it quick. Don't stay there just because you're not perfect. Get connected back with God again. Walk toward the light. Amen. And humble yourself to the Word of God. Amen. Those are there for us to be blessed by. And every day of our life, if we remember it, we can live life without any influence of the spirit of darkness. That's how God wants us to live, by the way. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the light that sheds light on our pathway, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for the protection. For the protection of walking in the light. Humbling ourselves, Father God. The issue of repentance. Every one of them is a place of blessing upon us. The rulers of the darkness of this world, Lord, need not dominate us in any area of our life. And won't if we do what your word tells us to do. And so we can boldly say, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We can boldly say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. We can boldly say, we're children of the light, and darkness touches us not. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name for these things. And thank you, Lord, when we find ourselves in the wrong path, just as quickly we can turn to you. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, we'll pick this up next week. Remember Wednesday, 2 weeks? Oh, yeah, 2 weeks. That's right. Greg is going to be speaking next week. I don't know what he's going to say, but I know it'll be good. He don't either. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand up and hug somebody. God bless you.